الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
قال أهل بيته الأطيبين من الجليل بهم نتولى ومن أمرائهم نتبرع إلى الله اللهم اغفر لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الله وتمتعه فيها قليلا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
بتاك الله جل وعلا for accepting us in his service in the sacred month of Ramadan. Today was the first. And it was mentioned that there are different names we find for this sacred month in Quran and the sayings of Masumin alayhi wassalam. One of the names which is mentioned by our fourth Imam Sajjad alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In one of his du'as says it is Shahr al-Tamhis. It is the month of purification. A month when a person gets washed, gets purified. All the wrong that is in us, all the errors that have been piled up, all that get washed away in this sacred month. So it is a month of cleansing. Elsewhere, he says that it is the Shahr al-Maghfirah. The month of being forgiven, of seeking forgiveness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this can be seen in the khutbah of the Holy Prophet in the last khutbah of Shaban, which was delivered by him. He says that this is Shahr al-Maghfirah. Elsewhere says that it is Shahr al-Itq. Itq means to free. It is a month wherein we come to free ourselves from the hellfire. If you recall your memories, yesterday we recited in Dua Josh and Tabir, خَلِّسْنَا مِنَ النَّارِ يَا رَبْ. 100 times we repeated that. And throughout the month, in all of these du'as that we have a similar phrase every night on asking Allah to free us from the hellfire. So that is Shahr al-Itq, a month when people, they get freed from the hellfire. Elsewhere says that it is Shahr al-Tuhur. It is the month of purification. A month when a person is purified. Elsewhere is known as Shahr al-Barakah, the month of Barakah, a month wherein all the special graces, favors of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala are present therein. The name Ramadan, it is the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So the etiquette that we have, the adab that has to be observed, is that when you want to address the month, say the month of Ramadan. Or as Allah says, Shahrullah, Shahrul Ramadan, Shahrul Barakah. And so just don't say Ramadan came, Ramadan went. That is disrespect to the month, as Ramadan is the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Some etiquettes that we had for the sacred month. There are some ahkam, just as a revision to brothers and sisters, that from the first day until the day of Eid, either you intend that you will be fasting and observing all the ahkam in the sacred month of Ramadan, or you renew your niyat every night. So the best is, on the first day, you have that intention that you will be observing the fasts, qurbatan ila Allah, that is from the dawn until the dusk. All those ahkam will be observed. All that is wajib will be observed. All that is haram will be refrained. That one niyat and qurbatan ila Allah will be sufficient for the entire month. Now when we talk about the month of Ramadan and the ahkam that we have therein, there are some etiquettes to be observed. First of all, it's that niyat, intention. It has to be sincere. It has to be pure. It has to reduce the distance between us and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Eating and drinking is not allowed from the time of the Fajr prayers until the time of Maghrib prayers. Now here you don't have very long fast. Back in Europe, it's about 19, 20 hours of fast. So that is a lot. Here too, you are quite well here. Eating and drinking is not allowed in this month. And any type of physical relationship wherein reversal becomes wajib, that is also not permitted. Now, when we talk about these issues wherein all these ahkam have to be observed, if someone does not observe the ahkam in this month, a multiple penalty applies on this individual. Multiple penalty means he has to free a slave, he has to fast for 60 days, and he has to feed 60 needy. So all that is the multiple penalty which applies. Now when we say that if someone deliberately, knowingly did not fast in this month, he has to fast for 60 days. 60 days doesn't mean that he can randomly fast these 60 days. 60 days starts from day 1 and he has to continue until day 31 without any break. And if for any reason, if he breaks, then he has to start all over again. So one day for not fasting, that huge penalty applies on that individual. Going in a place where there is a lot of dust, mud, sand, and that sand and dust gets into your throat, that will also invalidate your fast. Now when we talk about throat is that middle part of the throat from where the letter Kha is pronounced. If you go to a place where there's a lot of dust and that dust gets to the middle part of your throat, then the fast will become batil. So avoid places wherein it is very dusty. Dipping your head in water, that will also invalidate your fast. You can swim, but you cannot dip your head underwater. Now when we say dipping your head underwater, it is both the ears, they get underwater at one time. If that happens, that fast will become batil. If ghusl becomes wajib on an individual, it is wajib on him before the Fajr Azam, time of Fajr prayers. Today it was 4:14 or 4:04. So before that 4:04, he has to have his ghusl done. If he woke up late and it wasn't Fajr yet, he has to perform that tayammum and then he can start his fast. If he doesn't do that tayammum and that ghusl also wasn't done purposely, knowingly, then that fast of that day is batil and a penalty also will apply. So to be on the safe side, it is good to have all these tools for tayammum, which is just a piece of rock or some dust or clay or mud at home ready, that if in case the need rises and we need to get that tayammum done, we have things ready and we get into the fast with taharat, that is wajib. So either with the ghusl a person enters, and if the time is too short, you do a tayammum and then you enter into the fast. If someone vomits purposely during the fast, that will also invalidate. But if no, he just felt sick and he threw up, then that would be fine. So these are some of the ahkam that we have to observe in the sacred month of Ramadan. Now people who are traveling in this month, that is, place where they would like to stay is less than 10 days and it is not their hometown, then they cannot fast. If they are traveling to a place and they reach their destination before Zuhr and they intend to stay there for 10 days, they have to fast. If for example I have to travel today somewhere, now with that assumption and intention that because I'm traveling I can have a big breakfast and go from home, that will make a penalty, that is a multiple penalty apply. For me to classify as a musafir, I have to get out of town, only then can I break my fast. Because I am intending to travel, I can't have a breakfast at home and then travel. So I have to go out of that vicinity and then I can break my fast. If you have any question till now, I'm here to answer. Yes?
We have very small cities around this Los Angeles neighborhood. So how do we figure out the limits of the city?
City limits of LA. Yeah. Then I think you have to find out yourselves. LA is one of those big cities that we have. There should be some limits. I don't know. Victorville is
not
out. Yeah, whatever the city limits are, you from that city limit. If you travel for about 25 kilometers or about 5-6 miles, then you can break your fast. That is, whatever the city limit is here, in greater LA, you can classify that as your city limits. That is one. So you have to be a traveler for you not to be able to fast, and that also if you intend to travel before Zohar and you reach your destination before Zohar, then you will be able to fast wherever you get to, and if you intend to stay there for 10 days. Regarding the importance of this sacred month of Ramadan, we find glorious sayings from Rasulullah, especially in his khutbah. There, the Holy Prophet, we talked about the month, all these different names that it has. Here Rasulullah says, فَإِنَّ الشَّقِي مَنْ حُرِمَ غُفْرَانَ اللَّهِ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرِ. It is a beautiful month that Allah has availed for each one of us to get purified, to get washed, and to aloof ourselves from the hellfire. If someone came into this month and did not get himself purified and did not get himself forgiven, that person is the most unlucky, the most wretched person, as said by Rasulullah. So we have to try and do something that the doors of hell, which Allah has shut and closed on us in this month, they never open upon us ever. That is the teaching that we have. And in addition to that, we find that وَرْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِ أَيْدِيَكُمْ بِالدُّعَى فِي أَوْقَاتِ صَلَاتِكُمْ. One of the other benefits of this month is that everything multiplies by many folds. Whatever you do outside this month of Ramadan, it's much lesser, much minute. A 2-rakat prayer, if you offered in the month of Shaaban, it's 2. But when you do that same thing in the month of Ramadan, it multiplies by 70 folds, whatever that mustahab prayer is. So it is recommended that as much as you can, recite as much as you can, offer prayers as much as you can, keep yourself occupied in this glorious month of Ramadan. And here Rasulullah says that raise your hands, ask Allah for whatever your hajat and needs are, all of them will be granted. Everyone has problems, there are hajat we need have. One of the other tips that we can mention over here is that when we start and pray for ourselves only, many a time we find that those du'as, they are delayed. But if we pray for each other, you pray for me, I pray for you, that way du'as, they ascend in a much quicker way. And then says that, فَفُكُّوهَا بِإِسْتِغْفَارِكُمْ وَظُهُورَكُمْ ثَقِيلَةٌ مِّنْ أَوْزَارِكُمْ. That is, you have to free yourself in this sacred month of Ramadan by asking istighfar and seeking the forgiveness from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One of the other mustahabbat of this sacred month is providing iftar. All those who have provided iftar for tonight and all those who are sponsored for the forthcoming nights, may Allah accept from each one of them biqabul al-hasan. May Allah grant them all the tawfiqat and whatsoever wishes and hajat they may be having, all of them be granted. Here the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, أيها الناس من فطر منكم صائما مؤمنا في هذا الشهر. Whosoever among you provides the iftar of a mu'min who is fasting, كان له بذلك عند الله عتق نسمة. That is, before Allah, providing the iftar means even as little as one date to someone, says that it would be rewarded as the reward of freeing a slave, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ لِمَا مَضَى مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ, and all of his past sins will be forgiven only for providing that one iftar. Someone present in that majlis, in the presence of the Holy Prophet, says, قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ كُلَّنَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ. All of us have not can, but we don't have that ability to provide iftar. And then Rasulullah says, اتَّقُ النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشَقِّ تَنْبَةٍ. That is, be afraid of that fire, even a little date, just one date, one khurma or one tamra, that also would be classified as that iftar, and you would be rewarded for that. وَلَوْ بِشَرْبَةٍ مِنْ مَا. Or if someone couldn't even provide that one date, he gives him a sip of water so that a mu'min breaks his fast. For that huge reward is mentioned by the Holy Prophet. Now we have entered into this glorious month, and the topic inshallah that we will be having, and we'll be starting it from tomorrow night, it is the wasiyat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam to his son. To his son Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. It is a beautiful wasiyya, and inshallah every day we recite a few phrases of it and try to understand and apply whatever the Imam has taught on to ourselves. We have entered the sacred month of Ramadan, and as it was mentioned yesterday, we have to seek assistance from Maksumeen. That tawassul has to be there. And without that tawassul, it is impossible for us to be successful and to prosper in these fields of spirituality in particular. We want to get closer to Allah. To get close to Allah, we have to get closer to someone who are close to Allah. And there is no one closer and nearer than Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We have entered this month. Looking back in Karbala, we find that there is an entry which Imam Abdullah makes. That is, he arrives at that land with his caravan, with women and children. From a passerby asks, what is this place called? Someone says, Nainawa. Asks, any other name? Says, Shatul Furat. Any other name? Says, Wadiriyya. Any other name? Says, Karbala. Upon hearing the name Karbala, the atmosphere of the caravan is different. And then Imam has that sand, that dust which was given to him by the Holy Prophet, that is that dust of that land of Karbala. He picks up a little bit of soil from there, matches it which was given to him, and finds it, it's exactly the same. And that says, this is the destination that we have come to. This is the place where the camps will be set. This is the place where the Bani Hashim will be killed. This is the place where I will be slaughtered. And he pictures the entire scenario which is to unfold in a few days before the caravan. So there Imam Abdullah comes to that point, and here we have also come to this month of Ramadan. We ask Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala by the arrival of Imam Abdullah and Hussein, help us in this sacred month of Ramadan. All the wrong that we have, may Allah make it as such that it is forgiven. And this month be listed among the best of months of our life. Allah, by those who were waiting for Aba Abdullah and Hussein on that day of Ashura, we too are waiting for our Imam. In this month, which is the month of Imam al-Asr, in this month we have Laylatul Qadr, everything is moving towards that Laylatul Qadr. So we have to try our best from this day one, that we perceive that one Laylatul Qadr in the best way. A fraction of it, a little of it. Now what is this Laylatul Qadr? It is the night of Imam. In the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the first and the second Khalifas were present. Then Abu Bakr, he asks the Holy Prophet, that Surah Al-Qadr says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. تَنَزَّلُ in Arabic means the angels descend. It is a present continuous tense. That is, the angels descend therein, that is, in Laylatul Qadr. Here says that where do they descend? Upon the pure heart of Rasulullah. Then he says the tense is present continuous. And Rasulullah, he also, like everyone else, will die. What will happen after your death, Ya Rasulullah? Here the ayah says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Rasulullah asks them, what do you say? Where will they descend, these angels? Angels just don't descend anywhere. They have to descend on the pure heart of a maqsoom. And there it was Rasulullah. And then they ask, where will they descend after you, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah stands up. Then that majlis, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is present. comes and puts his hands on the shoulders of Ali, then upon the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. After me, it is the pure heart of Ali wherein these angels will descend. And today, that pure heart of Imam al-Asr, أَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيمُ.
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
For that reason, from this day one, make it a habit that whatever is being done in these fasts, in the prayers, give it a link, a bond. Give it a fragrance of imamahs. That is, we start our fast, we say, قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ يَا صَاحِبَ الزَّمَانِ أَدْرِكْنِي. We want to start our prayers, we say in our hearts, يَا صَاحِبَ الزَّمَانِ أَدْرِكْنِي. That is, Imam, help me, help us. And that is that tawassul that we have. And with this tawassul, inshaAllah, we will be able to perform a better service. Ilahi, by those who were waiting for Allah Abdullah on that day of Ashura. And the Maqatil, they say that Aba Abdullah, being the elderly of that camp, of that caravan, and is the last one who has remained on the day of Ashura, everyone else has passed away, everyone else has been killed. Here, what he does is that, on that horse, all alone, wounded, comes closer to the camps and says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, loud. For two reasons. One reason is, after all, it is a recital, a remembrance of Allah. The second reason is that so that the women and children in the camps, when they hear the voice of Allah, they are content, they are happy that the elderly of ours, he is alive. They are content. Then he says that a time comes when the horse returns, but then the voice of Aba Abdullah is not heard. Here Sakina, the daughter of Aba Abdullah, she comes, holds the reins of the horse, or holds the feet of the horse, and then says, Ya Jawad Abi, Amputila Abi, Amputila Adshana, says that, O loyal horse of my father, I know that my father has been killed. Asuqiya abi am qutila adshana. I know he has been killed. But can you tell me, was he quenched before he died or not? Here she asks a question. Answer is heard from somewhere else. The answer is what? That shi'ati mahma sharibtum azbama in fadkuruni. That my shi'as, whenever you drink a sip of water, do remember. Ya Allah, by these toddlers of Aba Abdullah who are waiting for Hussein, hasten the return of our Imam, our Master, Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Ya Allah, count us among his true supporters, among his true servants, and those who seek Shahadat in his service. Ya Allah, all the wrong that we have done in this month of repentance, in this month of inaba, in this month of tawbah, forgive us. All the wrong that we have done to each one of us, each other, and especially on our own souls, Allah, forgive all of that. And may Allah Jalla Ba'ala grant us tawfiq to benefit Laylatul Qadr. Wa ajjal fi faraji Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.